You're listening to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. The number of new COVID-19 cases is exploding in Florida. One-fifth of the nation's new cases are in Florida. Hospitalization rates are up, too. In fact, the number of patients hospitalized this month with the coronavirus has surpassed the numbers from a year ago when there were no vaccines available. Republican Governor Ron DeSantis is doubling down on his position, banning mask mandates for schools, even going so far as to threaten pay cuts to those who impose mandatory masking. Joining us now to get a sense of what's going on in Florida is Mary Ellen Klass. She's the Miami Herald Tallahassee Bureau Chief. Mary Ellen, welcome to the program. Give us a sense of COVID in Florida right now.
Well, it's an interesting place. We've got hotels full, we've got beaches full, and we've got hospitals that are reaching capacity. And most of the all the hospital surge is because of COVID. There are many schools that began this week already, and we're, you know, in the midst of this fight over whether or not students will be required to wear masks. So it's a state of it's a hot spot. It's a hot tourist destination, and it's a hot COVID destination.
Numbers aside, how does this compare with the early stages of COVID, or, you know, just a few months into COVID when we were seeing so many cases?
Well, it's a very dramatic difference. You know, the message that our Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has basically sent is that Florida's open for business, and the result is that people are acting very differently than they were a year ago. There's a lot of places where people just don't engage in social distancing and masking. The precautions are a lot less. But, you know, half of the population in Florida and a very large, you know, over 70% of the population of elders are vaccinated. But it's the other half, and those that sort of are attracted to Florida because of our, you know, laissez-faire attitude that has changed the dynamic, I think, greatly.
When you say it's dramatically different, is it a big topic of conversation? I mean, obviously, in the news, in your newspaper, on TV, on radio, it is the lead story. But are normal, everyday Floridians, are they talking about it a lot?
You know, I think this is the situation in a lot of perhaps in a lot of places. But there are many people who think they're past it and are not as conscientious of, you know, worried about getting COVID as they had been, and others continue to be very concerned about it. The dynamic is different if you've got kids in school, kids who are too young to be vaccinated, and that is where the discussion and debate has really been for the last couple of weeks.
Governor Ron DeSantis has encouraged people to get vaccinated, but has he urged other mitigation efforts? I mean, is there a plan to stem this surge?
When it comes to his messaging and his narrative, his focus is not on stemming the surge. His focus is on talking about people have a right to do what they think is right for themselves. He has not spent a lot of time encouraging vaccinations. But behind the scenes, of course, the state continues to do vaccine pop-up clinics. There are some, public messaging through television ads and public service announcement type things that are happening. But you wouldn't, if you were just listening to the governor and the leadership, you wouldn't get that sense that there he's out to try to mitigate the crisis.
You know, from a distance, we look at this and ask why. I mean, is politics? Is that political philosophy? Is it that so much more important than trying to keep people safe?
I'm equally perplexed by this messaging. There is a sense that I think this governor thinks people know enough about this virus. They know what to do. Let them make their own decisions. And so he has made a choice to protect the people who want to remain unvaccinated and who want to remain not taking precautions. And that is the message that he's trying to send. The irony is that there is so much pushback at the local level and certainly among school districts that in the end, this governor may be able to have it both ways. He's made a reputation as fighting a mask mandate, and yet schools and families are likely to decide to voluntarily wear them, even if he's trying to ban them. He did the same thing with the cruise industry. He fought a legal battle to prevent the CDC from requiring vaccines and COVID protocols on cruise ships. The courts agreed with him and upheld the fact that the CDC could not impose these rules. And then every cruise industry voluntarily agreed to follow the CDC rules. So he's kind of able to pitch this narrative and yet not have that, you know, assume that people are going to do the proper thing anyway.
But the problem with voluntarily masking up is that not everyone does it. And, you know, you may, and especially when we're talking about kids in school that, you know, we've known for a long time, it's harder for the younger kids, especially to wear their mask. But you're saying that from what you're seeing, that a lot of schools, if they're not requiring mask, that at least it's voluntary and that there are many parents that want their kids to wear mask.
Right. We are going to see, this could be an interesting constitutional conflict, though, because Florida's constitution empowers local school districts to make local decisions about the safety of children in schools. And there is a lawsuit that was just filed by the parents of children who are disabled or who have medical conditions and yet need to be in school, in-person schooling. So, you know, their parents... kids who've got immunity disorders or asthmatic, other kinds of conditions where they need to have their kids protected from a child who is unvaccinated and unmasked. And so they're challenging this rule that the governor has established that schools may not mandate masks. And that is in federal court, and that could potentially be the thing that forces this governor to stop the policy of banning masks. And that, you know, but that continues just as they've passed many laws this legislative cycle that have been deemed unconstitutional in the courts already. They kind of win on the narrative that they, what they're standing for, but they lose on the legal ground.
Mary Lynn, I'm curious about what parents are saying. I mean, obviously, parents care about the safety of their children. You say that the state is split half and half on, we're past this, and others who are very concerned. Is it split amongst parents that way, or do you have more parents saying, schools need to do more? We need some more protection for our kids.
Well, it's been a very dynamic issue across the state. There have been school boards. Only a small number of school boards have openly defied the governor's ban on mask requirements. And at those school board meetings, there have been parents protesting. They want masks to be required, and there's parents who say, we have a right to decide our kid is safe without a mask, and in fact we think masks are unsafe for our kids. So that's the dynamic that's been happening. And it's really hard to say where the majority of parents fall right now, except that the presumption among most school districts is that parents are going to err on the side of having their kids wear masks, at least for the time being, until Florida passes this surge. And that seems to be the perception, that the governor, you know, has already backed down in a couple of instances in the last couple weeks. He first issued this mask mandate, then issued the requirement that masks may not be mandated, and then the Department of Health stepped in and reversed his policy, basically saying schools could impose a mask mandate as long as they allowed parents to opt out. But then if the governor then came back and said, if schools don't allow for the mask opt out, then they are going to lose funding. And there's no legal way for the governor to withhold funds from schools. So they have now done a workaround that they're going to, you know, withhold money in other creative ways.
Seems like a lot of trouble to go through. You know, you talk about Florida's constitution saying that local school districts have control over their districts. You know, from a political point of view, this would seem to go against conservative principles of government closest to the people, local school boards in this case, to make decision. I mean, and what's kind of ironic about that is that the governor has resisted and got into a war of words with President Biden, the Biden administration, about Washington possibly interceding. You know, are there those that point out that those two are maybe diametrically opposed?
It's an irony that has been persisting for a long time. When it comes to health mandates, you know, the state has imposed requirements on kids being vaccinated for other things, for smallpox and, you know, chickenpox and things like that. And local school districts have not, you know, have not gone against that. In this case, the governor is opposing school districts from doing the thing that they think is best for students. And the irony is that you'd think that conservatives who agree with you, you know, who often say we want government closest to the people to be the one that has the control, they are not speaking up. And I think that is one of the dilemmas of this entire COVID situation. The pandemic has become so politicized that even people who ideologically align are not speaking out, reflecting their ideals.
You know, here in Pennsylvania, you know, we have the same dynamic, but not as many cases. But I've talked to school board members who have said, we need help from the state because we're not health experts. We're not the Department of Health, so we need some help from the state. But they also like having local control. Here's one of the big questions. We only have about 90 seconds left, Mary Ellen. Will Ron DeSantis run for president? This is one of the reasons that I wanted to have this conversation, is because, you know, his name has been mentioned very often. If Donald Trump doesn't run in 2024, that DeSantis has his eye on the White House.
He has definitely been operating with an idea that he is conducting a national campaign. Every other week, he's doing a fundraiser in another state. I believe he's already had one in Pennsylvania. There is no doubt in my mind that he will be running in 2024. He has not even officially announced re-election for 2022, but has been able to kind of operate anyway, a campaign and fundraising effort. So, I think the national speculation is very ripe that he'll be a candidate.
You're saying he definitely will run, even if Trump would run as well? Would he run against Trump?
You know, I think that's an open question. There's people who are speculating that that Ron DeSantis has now emerged as such a strong player and heir to the Trump mantle that Trump would have to either put him on a ticket with him if you were to run or find a way to get Ron DeSantis out of the way, I really think that it'll be an interesting thing to watch.
Well, maybe we'll be talking to you again. Mary Ellen Klass, Miami Herald Tallahassee Bureau Chief. Mary Ellen, good talking to you today.
Good to talk with you, Scott. Thanks.
I'm Scott Lamar. Have yourself a great day.